In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We sometimes either conveniently forget or simply turn a blind eye to the clarity with which the Lord speaks to us in sacred Scripture. Because He is the embodiment of truth, there is no equivocation or hesitation in the proclamation of what needs to be said. And so in our gospel, the Lord makes very clear that the manner in which the Pharisees, the Sadducees, are treating Him is a dishonor to Him and a dishonor to God, because they should be able to hear and see what it is that He is accomplishing. And by virtue of hearing and seeing, because they have been preparing for this moment, they should know who He is. He goes on to simply remind them then that they are liars, because He is speaking truth. What the Lord says has come after the sixth chapter in John's Gospel, where He has manifested His glory yet again by feeding the 5,000. And yet their hardness of heart has turned them against the Lord, and they are incapable or unwilling or both to hear and accept truth. Of course, we know how this ends. Instead of transforming themselves, instead of putting away their sinful manner, instead of not persisting any longer in their hardness of heart, they rise up against the Lord and they prepare to do violence to Him. We know that this is not yet His time. He knows that it is not yet His time. And so He eludes them for the time being, knowing that there will come the moment where He must offer His life in exchange for our own, make recompense for our sins because are through the gift of His blood. Now is not that time. But in truth, brothers and sisters, as we listen to John's Gospel this morning, we know that this time of preparation that has been our Lenten season is almost at an end. And we are entering into the holiest days of the life of Holy Mother Church. There are no days that supersede what we are about to celebrate as we enter into the sacred Triduum. And while we are not quite there yet, and there still is time and must be time to be faithful to our disciplines, we also must begin preparing ourselves for what it is that is about to happen. This remains the greatest drama to unfold in all of human history, that somehow man was able to put to death the author of life. We were able to kill God. And although modern man has proclaimed quite often that God is dead, nothing could be further from the truth. Because we know that early morning on the third day, He rises from the dead and in so conquers sin and death once and for all. And yet, likewise, because of our sin, because of the blindness and the hardness of our hearts, oftentimes we want to rush to Easter Sunday. After all, it's more palatable to glory in the resurrection than it is to remain steeped in our sin and to make recompense for our failures and to accept our responsibility in the suffering of our Lord. Throughout the late 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s, in my childhood, we were often describing ourselves as an Easter people. I'm not quite sure what that actually meant, except I knew even instinctively, before I knew any theology, that the purpose of proclaiming that was to somehow minimize the mystery of the cross and our responsibility therein, and somehow turn our attention to all the glories of the resurrection. But there is no new life unless there is a willingness to admit one's complicity in the suffering of our Lord. And so we have begun to take things away from ourselves, as we actually did at the beginning of Septuagesima. What began as a slow burn now has picked up speed. And we have covered up all these realities that somehow peered upon us. And the only one who remains is our Lord, captive in the tabernacle. Because our sights, our minds, our focus can no longer be on anything or anyone else except for the Lord. We might be tempted to turn away. And one could even argue that maybe it'd be prudent that we turn away, depending on how egregious and serious our sins may be. For to look upon God in our failure, to look upon God and to beg from Him without being serious in reforming our lives, is to enter into condemnation and truly to make of ourselves liars. proclaiming to be Christians, proclaiming to be transformed, and yet never doing anything to actually make that happen. And when confronted with the truth, our response is not to be transformed, but instead to do violence. We know we live in a violent age. One could argue that ages past maybe were more violent. And there certainly have been times in secular history, where man has manifested that violence on a grand scale. But now, in all sorts of places, in all sorts of ways, we do physical violence with one another. We do violence through our words. We do violence through our actions as we go to our separate corners and we hurl insults one at another. I'm not saying we have to be best friends with each other, but we do have to practice charity, love, and compassion. We do not have to like everyone. And in truth, there are people who simply are not likable. But we have to love everyone because we ourselves have been loved. This is what it means for us to follow after our Lord. This is the reason why we have undertaken all of these disciplines throughout this Lenten season, so that we can strip ourselves and allow God to be the one who fills us up. But we must pay heed to what the Lord says. We must listen to how he speaks to us most eloquently in the Blessed Sacrament, but also in our fervent and consistent prayer. And in this way, we will be able to walk with our Lord all the way to the foot of the cross. And where his disciples may have abandoned him and betrayed him, we can join Our Lady and the beloved disciple and remain steadfast witnesses to the redemption that unfolds right before our eyes. This is not an easy reality to contemplate. And in truth, I would much rather not look at my failures or my sinfulness. And I certainly do not want to admit that I am responsible for my Lord's suffering. But the truth is, I am. The truth is, I sin. The truth is, at times, I choose not to listen to the words of God, but instead listen to my own or to the words of men. But we know that there is no life in that which men provide. Life only comes through God and that which he has gained for us. So now, your vindication is almost at hand. And you're required to make your laser-like focus on the mystery of our Eucharistic Lord and the new life that he's about to bestow upon us. There still is time, and remain steadfast. Now is not the time to waver or doubt or to give up your disciplines. If you've not taken advantage of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, there is still time to do so, and I exhort you and compel you to do so. And if you have already done so, there is nothing wrong with coming again and again. Not with any scrupulosity or any doubt in God's profound mercy, but because of awareness of my weakness and my failure and my sin. The question, brothers and sisters, we have to constantly ask ourselves is, why do we continue to persist in doing this on our own, expecting things to be different? If you want your life to be transformed, if you want the fullness of your Catholic life lived in every single moment of every single day, then you must have constant recourse to the Lord to do that. And one of the key components of that is rooting out sinfulness in your lives so that you might hear the Word of God, not only with your ears, but with your inner heart, because sin has been remitted for you. So begin again, if need be. Continue as you have been and intensify and prepare yourself for what it is that is about to unfold. Because we will be here again next week and we will hear again now of the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then we will also listen to all those who will clamor for his blood and ask that he be crucified. We might be tempted to believe that we would be different, but the very sins for which we are guilty betrays us. We too cry for the Lord's crucifixion. We too receive or accept or desire those who are robbers and thieves instead of desiring the Lord himself. We might feel at times that we crumble under our shame, that we are embarrassed by our sins, that we want to shun our weakness. But do not stop there, and do not wallow in your sin, your weakness, and your failure. Allow the Lord who has come to give you new life raise you up as he desires to do abundantly. But begin today listening to the word of God and what it is that he is saying to you. Pay heed, open your mind and your heart to receive the new life that is almost upon you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.